If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. I just love the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoy hearing the testimonies we talked about in one of the verses in Sunday school. It talked about the importance of giving thanks and tied into prayers. And you know, I'm glad that God answers prayers. And that, you know, when people stand up and talk about and give a praise report of how God answered the prayers and He took watched over them and took care of needs, that just helps you to pray even more, doesn't it? It helps you when you trust in Him once and He makes good on it, you want to trust Him again. And I'm glad we're in a church of people that believe in prayer and that love the Lord. I'm just going to read three verses, Matthew 13, 44 through 46. It says, Jesus is speaking. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And then 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for a chance to come in and worship You. Lord, I need Your help today. Lord, I ask that You'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the message You've laid on my heart, Lord, help it to come out. Lord, help our ears to hear what You have for us and our hearts to listen. And Lord, that we would be open to the Holy Spirit. And we ask that He would touch hearts today, open up the altars, Lord, that we would take care of things to draw closer to You. And if there are any lost, that today would be the day they'd come to know You. We love You and we thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen.
So at this point in Jesus' ministry, it says in the beginning of chapter 13, Jesus begins starting to speak in parables. You see that start in verse 3. And a parable is just kind of a short story. These are really short, but they have a little piece, a nugget of truth in it. And usually they're a real simple message, but they're powerful. And what it's designed to do is that it kind of hits you harder than if Jesus would have just said the truth. He's giving you kind of an example to get a point across that's powerful. One of the reasons is these metaphors, they come from, you see Him, He uses nature, He uses farming, judges sometimes, Pharisees, tax collectors. He used all kinds of things that people would have known and would have seen and known around them. So His disciples, they ask Him in verse 11, Why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus gives them an answer. He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So we know based on His answer that at least these parables are for you and I. It's for the Christian person. And sometimes the truth in these may not be right at the surface. You know, sometimes we like to be spoon-fed. You know, we like to just tell me what it is and just real simple and plain. You know, and Jesus did that a lot of times. But when He gets to some of these parables, you see the truth is a little further under the surface. You got to think a little bit. You got to dig deeper and to figure out what it is. And what He's doing is He's forcing you to ponder and to think about the words that He's saying. You know, that's a good thing. You know, sometimes I think in today's society, we don't want to think anymore. We want people to do the thinking for us, right? You want to turn on the TV and tell us what we should think and what we should know and everything else. But you know, gone is the time. A lot of people, you would just get a book and you would read it and you'd figure it out yourself what you would think and what you would believe in. And I tell you what, you turn on the TV and everything else in the world and they'll tell you what to think. And it's not this right here. You know, we need to get back to this day after day, because this will tell you what you need to think, and it'll tell you how to think and how to live and what the truth is and what isn't the truth. And I'm telling you what, we need this more than ever. So sometimes you get to passages like I read and you read it, and right off the bat, if you think you know it right like that, you're probably in trouble. You probably don't have the right meaning. You got to dig deeper and you got to think about it. So one of the things the other day I was looking at some passages and preaching on it. And I said, you know, one of the things that is helpful if you're confused about something in the Bible is if you're taking these parables and trying to figure out, well, who is the merchant man and what does the field represent and what are they doing? You know, one thing that's important is if it contradicts something else in the Bible, then what you think the interpretation is, it's wrong. It's that easy. That's an easy one right there. So as you're thinking about the parable and what these things mean, if something is contradictory, you know that's not right. But you know, a lot of people look at these two short parables, just three verses, and they have a lot of different ideas. Number one, this treasure hidden in the field. I'll read verse 44 again. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. So we've got this man, he's in a field, and we don't know if he's just passing through the field. We don't know if he's maybe rented the field to farm it, you know, tenant farming, or what. We just know he doesn't own that field that he was in. But one day he finds a treasure hidden in the field, and he doesn't steal the treasure. He doesn't try to take it away, but he doesn't tell anybody about it. He goes back. He sells everything that he owns. So he would have emptied his bank account. He would have sold his house, all his possessions. He sells every single thing so that way he can go back, he can buy that field, and now he owns the field and the treasure in it. Okay? That's the first one. Let's look at the second one. He says again, kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So it says again in verse 45, so we know these are connected. He's teaching the same thing using a different metaphor. So now we have this merchant man, this businessman, and he is looking for something. The Bible says he's looking for goodly pearls, and he finds one of great price. One pearl he finds, he goes like the other man and he sells everything that he has. Everything, so that way he can buy the one pearl. So the first man sold everything to buy the field and the treasure in it. So in the end, all he owned was a field with treasure. The second man sold everything that he had and all that he ended up with is one pearl of great price. Those are the two. Are you starting to think? Are the wheels turning? I hope so, because that's what we're trying to get at. You know, I found all over the place what people thought these things meant. All over. But, you know, I found two that really hit me. And number one is when you start thinking about what does this mean? And the first thing are, who are these men? Who's the man and who's the merchant man? And what's the treasure and what's the pearl represent? And as we start to ponder it, one of the things I found is a lot of people say the man is Jesus Christ in both cases. So if you think about it, if the man is Jesus Christ, the man went and bought the field and the merchant man bought the pearl. And I started to think about this and take the field one, for example. You know, it says that he found this treasure in this field and he went and left and sold everything to go and buy the field. And we know from the earlier parable in this chapter that the field is the world. And so if you think about this, it's like saying Jesus Christ left all of heaven to be born of a virgin and to live a sinless life on this earth. And his sole purpose was to do his Father's will. We know that, right? To die on the cross, to save the sins of the world. So there we've got Jesus Christ coming into this world to buy the world because of a great treasure in it. And it reminds me of Romans 5, 6 and through 8. It says, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man would die. Yet peradventure, a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like that, because what it's saying is when our lives were still filthy, when we were still guilty, when we were still in our sins, that is the point that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. What he's saying is that when we were a spot where we had nothing to offer Jesus Christ, He decided he was going to follow the Father's will. They all had the same will, united in heaven, that they would. He would come, He would die for us, and He would raise from the dead, and He would purchase our sin debt with His own blood. So we see that the owner of the field had no idea that the treasure was there. No idea. He just sold the field for the price of the field. But you know what? The man saw something else. He saw a greater treasure in the field. And you know what? As we look out on many people in this world, you know, you and I probably don't look like much to a lot of people. We don't look, we're not celebrities, we're not powerful, we're not in government and different things, we're not rich. But I tell you what, even though most people may not know your name and know my name, Jesus Christ looked across this world and He saw something of great value. And what He saw is your soul and my soul. And He said, I will leave all of heaven. I'll leave everything so that way I can give my all and die on the cross completely, sell out entirely, give up everything so that way you and I could be bought. And you're saying, wait a second, were we bought? Oh yes, we were. He purchased us with His own blood. Then He took on the mercy seat into heaven. And that's why you and I are here today, is because Jesus Christ saw something in us that the world doesn't see. He saw something in you that you may not even see in yourself. He loved you that much that He would die for you while you were yet sinners. Aren't you glad? The lowest point, He purchased us. Not only that, look back at the man with the field. 44 says, and he when he went to go and buy and sell everything that he had, it tells something about the man's state of mind. It said, and for the joy thereof. And when I hear that phrase, it reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when Jesus Christ was enduring that awful crucifixion, the pain, the agony, when the God the Father turned His back on Him as He was enduring the wrath of God for your sins and my sins, Hebrews tells us that Jesus did it for the joy. Yeah. And that man bought that field. He went, and as soon as he knew the treasure was there, he went and he sold everything he had joyfully so that way he could buy the field. Aren't you glad? I can't believe that he would joyfully go through all of that for you and for me. Yeah. Joyfully. You know what the joy was? The joy comes not in the pain and the agony. The joy comes down the road when you and I kneel down to Him and ask Him to save our soul, and He gives us the gift of eternal life. That's when the joy comes in. Aren't you glad? Did it joyfully. And then we see, not only that, but I told you the first man, it doesn't even look like he's looking. He just finds it, almost like he stumbles across. But the merchant man was seeking goodly pearls. He was on a search for something, for goodly pearls. And you realize if we think about Jesus Christ being the merchant man, Jesus told Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad He come to find us when we didn't know we were even lost? He came seeking us. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And I'm telling you what, He loves us so much. He came looking for us, and He found us. Aren't you glad? But I found, not only do a lot of people say that the men is Jesus Christ, but a lot of people say the men in the parable are you and I. And if you start to think about it that way, it changes things. See, if we change it from Jesus to you and I, and we change the treasure and the pearl of great price instead of us and souls to eternal life and the kingdom of heaven and salvation, it makes things a lot different. See, We've got the merchant man seeking. Now think about a lost soul seeking. You know, there are some people out here that just look for truth everywhere. They try to find it in education. They try to find it in different religions. They try to find it. They're looking here and looking there, looking everywhere, trying to find the answers to life. Haven't you met people like that? What's funny is they have no idea where the truth is, but they'll tell you that what you are doing is wrong. We see that a lot, right? But people are searching and searching. Oh, but when it says when he finds that pearl of great price, he stopped searching any longer. The search ended. And aren't you glad? I have heard people that have lived their life and just weren't sure what the truth was and everything else. And then they found their way to Jesus Christ. And then when they heard the gospel, it touched them unlike anything else could. It did something that no religion could do, no ceremony, no ritual could do. It was the power of God through eternal life. And then you know what else? Some people are searching. You know, I think a lot of people are like the other man. They just find themselves in the field.
Yeah.
And then there's a treasure. You know, I don't know why you came here today. I don't know why you came to God's house the first time you came. Some people may have came because a boyfriend or girlfriend went to church and you decided you'd tag along. Maybe granny asked you to drive you to church. Maybe you're just going just because your mom wouldn't stop bugging you. Or I don't know what the reason was. You came, but you went in.
Yeah.
And you found something that was different.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying you came into the field and you found the great treasure there.
Yeah.
And you're like, now wait a second, that's different.
Yeah.
I may have came in for the wrong reason, but I found the right reason in here.
Yeah.
It starts to change things, doesn't it? But you know, as people are searching and some people just stumble into it, one of the things that you got to remember is, you know, you and I, we don't buy our salvation. We know that. We can't work, not through works or things like that. In fact, Peter tells us, 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. But one of the things that you notice is, no matter if we look at it as Jesus being the man or us being the man, do you see the truth that happens in here? The truth that we see in these verses is there's a great value in the treasure. There's a great value in the pearl, right? It was worth enough for the men to go sell everything that they had to buy it. Now imagine selling everything to get something. It'd have to be really valuable, wouldn't it? It would have to be worth a lot to you. See, we like the first interpretation where Jesus valued you and I so much that he would give it all for you. We like that, don't we? But the second one we don't like as much. He's saying, what is the kingdom of God worth to you? What value is it to you? Are you willing to sell out for the kingdom of God or not?
Yeah.
See, that changes things, doesn't it? Oh, see, I like Jesus selling out for me, but I don't want to sell out for Jesus. You see?
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, Mike, does that mean I have to go sell my house? I have to go sell everything? No, that's not what it means. But what it does mean is that you do have to go without some things. Maybe you have to forego some things. Maybe you have to put other priorities in line and show that there is a difference in worth. Because some of us would sell everything that we had because of an education or because of a job. We would sell out for those things. But the question is, would you sell out for Jesus Christ? And the great thing about him is Jesus does something very strange. He says, I want you to give up everything that you cannot keep so that way you can keep everything that doesn't go away. Maybe you didn't get that. Maybe you didn't get that. You know what he wants us to do is to give up things that are temporary. Oh, it's temporary. Jobs are temporary. Education's temporary. What happens when you lose your mind?
Someday I may lose my mind and all of that education is gone that I worked 13 years to get. Yeah. The college part. Right? And it'll go away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your skills. Yeah. At some point you won't be able to do those things anymore.
That's right.
Brooke's dad, great at basketball, really tall. His knees don't let him play anymore. Oh. It's gone. Temporary. All these things, temporary, 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 yet we hold on to them so tightly.
Right.
Oh, I can't give that up.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, if I gave that up, then what?
That's true.
Yet, there are eternal rewards that we forego.
Amen.
We forego eternal things for temporary things.
Yeah.
Oh my.
That don't make sense.
Wait a second. I don't know about you, but we see the temporary things now, and sometimes we forget about the eternal things.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to get us to focus on. He's saying, listen, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger kingdom here.
That's right.
And everywhere you look at, Jesus says, I will reward you for anything you give up. I will reward you for the work that you do for me. In fact, he says, there's a hundredfold.
Yeah.
He says, and it's eternal. The moths aren't going to eat it up. The rust isn't going to corrupt it. It is there. And in fact, he says, when I come back, my reward is with me. I don't know about you, church, but sometimes we need to just slow down and say, what am I gripping on so hard to that I will not sell out for God?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Because you know what? It doesn't just affect you.
That's right.
Jimmy preached a powerful message Wednesday. It hit me. It was about the gospel and sharing it. It said, if the gospel be hid, I don't remember the exact wording, but basically it's hid to those that are lost. What he's saying is, if you hold it in, you're not going to, the saved, it doesn't matter if you don't, to a saved person, if you don't share, if I don't share the gospel with Preston, that doesn't hurt him. He's already saved. But if I hold it in and don't give it to a lost person, it's hid from me.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are focusing on the temporary, focusing on the things that in the end don't matter that much. And hiding what's eternal.
Yeah.
Foregoing what's internal.
Yeah, that's good.
Telling you what, when you get, there'll be a certain time you can't do things like you could. You're saying, Mike, but time's limited. Oh, I know time's limited. Mike, I still have to work a job. So I know we do. We still have to do all these things. We have to provide. We've got limited amounts of time. We have to spend it with family. We have to, husbands and wives have to spend time together. We have to do all of these things. But I guarantee, if you really take a serious look at your life, you will find things that you are wasting energy and time and money on that could be put to a better use. This world is dying lost. We are hiding it from them. We are selling ourselves short. We are gaining the temporary. And God says, I want you to sell out for me. And I'm glad he's not telling me to go sell my house. But what he's saying is, if that house becomes more important than Jesus Christ, it does need to go.
Amen.
And if anything else, you can fill it in the blank. If it becomes more important, it's got to go. He said, and if an arm offends you, cut it off. He's serious about this. And you're saying, but Mike, this is no fun, and I got to do this, and you don't understand. I'm here to tell you, you can get an education, you can get a job, you can have a family, and you can still serve God, and He'll bless you, and He'll give you the strength, and He'll give you the energy. And I'm telling you what, you look back, and I'm telling you what, do you think I feel sad that I missed a bunch of time I could have worked overtime? Not a bit. Do I look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done more for God?
Yeah.
All the time.
Amen.
All the time.
That's right.
All the time. I don't want to get to the end and realize I've wasted all that opportunity. I don't.
Yeah.
What about you? I'm telling you, I apologize if I've ever made it look easy. A lot of days it's not.
Amen.
It's not.
Right.
Amen.
It's not.
That's right.
I'm telling you, there's times where I'm like, how are we going to get all this done?
Right.
And then come in here
and act like I got it all put together. Right? Preach a message that makes sense. Try to encourage you. I'm telling you what, if you come to our house, it gets crazy at times. All right? It does. But I'll tell you one thing. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
When I can look up to God and He says, you've been faithful in a few things. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
That day. And then I'll say back to Him, it's because of you.
Yeah.
It's all because of you.
Amen.
Every bit of it. So the question is, what's it worth to you? What's the kingdom of God worth to you? What's the whole thing worth?
Jesus Christ said, you're worth a lot to me. You're worth more than you'll ever imagine. What's our value of Him?
Yeah.
What's our value of Him? And the practical part comes when things need done. Either the pastor asks, or someone asks, or the Holy Spirit asks. He says, I need you to do something. And that's when we put it into play. Oh God, you're worth a lot to me. And then He leads you somewhere. Oh, you're not worth that much.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Oh, we talk about, you know, you should come. You should come be a part of when we do things here and services and Sunday school and things. And you say, well, God's important, but not important enough for me to get up an hour earlier on Sunday. Come on now. I mean, and not to forgo a Wednesday. I mean, that's crazy. And definitely not to tell somebody. I think we're missing it some days. Bless you, brother. We're missing it. Ask everybody to stand.
Ask everyone to stand.
Jesus Christ did it all for us. And so many Christian men and women over the years to get to today have put a lot of effort in so that we could be here today.
That's right.
We got this Bible right here. People have died to make this keep going.
That's right. Amen.
They've given their lives.
Amen.
People have died. You can read it in the early church. People died to promote this. People died to come together to pray together. People died to come and worship together. We are not facing death. We're not facing things like that. But the question is, have we become so complacent that we're not even willing to just move our schedule a little bit or give a little time and energy left? Mike, I'm tired. I know I'm tired too. But you know what? It's good to be tired for the Lord.
Amen.
Because He gives you strength. I remember being in law school. I was looking at the schedule and I said, I don't know how I'm going to have enough time to go to work. I don't know how I'm going to have enough time to read all those pages, to study, to go to class, and then to come to church and do the things like that. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But you know what? I'm going to not quit going to church and let it work out. And it did.
Yeah.
I don't know how. But it did. Test Him. You put Him first. You put the worth first. You put it in, and I guarantee He'll bless you. I'm telling you what. Those pieces of paper hanging up in my office. A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort went into them. But I don't look at them and be like, wow, isn't that amazing? But you know what I do look at?
Yeah.
It's things I've done for Him that's made changes in people's lives. And they've caught on. And they've grown closer to the Lord. And I say, wow, that's amazing.
Yes, amen.
That's amazing. Look what God's doing through me. What could He do through you?
Yeah.
He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. He loves you. He knows you're busy. But He's saying, what am I worth to you?
Amen.
Because you're worth everything to me. As she sings, I'm going to open up the altar. If you need to pray today, I urge you to come.